Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 7th, 2014. South Sudan officials block a UN shipment of weapons from reaching its destination. The UN says it was a mistake.
It is very regrettable that this mistake happened.
And Ugandan officials waive border crossing fees for South Sudanese shoppers.
The market is going to cost you with so many items, like the fruits, produce, the cereals, maize, sorghum, and nice fruits like pineapples.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Government officials say the United Nations has violated its own policy by transporting weapons by truck. They say 11 United Nations trucks traveling from Juba to Bentiu were discovered Wednesday to be carrying weapons. UN officials say it was a mistake and they have launched an investigation. Philippa Leo has this story for VOA from Juba.
UN Mission in South Sudan spokesperson Ariana Quantai says the weapons were discovered during a routine inspection by national security forces when the convoy passed through Lakes State. She says the arm belonged to Ghanaian peacekeepers who are stationed in Bentiu and were mislabeled as general goods.
It is very regrettable that this mistake happened, and Ian Miss again has said in a statement that it was not only regrettable, but that the UN headquarters intends to dispatch a high-level delegation, an investigation team, to look with the government of South Sudan into this matter and to look into it on an urgent basis.
Quantai says it is against UN and government policy to transport arms by road for security reasons. She says the shipment include ammunition and arms, but declined to provide more specifics. South Sudan Army spokesperson Brigadier General Malak Ayunajog says the trucks are being held in Rumbek until the government and UNMISS complete the investigation, which both sides say will happen quickly.
This is being tackled at the highest level of the government. We want the government to respond to that, or the government will take the lead in that issue of the UN. We in the army, we take a back seat in such things.
Government spokesperson Michael McQuinnless says he is aware of the incident, but declined to comment on what the next steps will be. Quantai says this is the first time an incident like this has happened, and it should not harm the relationships between UNMISS and the government.
Incident in more general term, I would stress the fact that UN is in South Sudan to support the government, that UN is in South Sudan to remain impartial, and that UN is not in South Sudan to take sides, and certainly not the side of the SPLM in opposition.
But those relations were strained in late January when Makwe, accompanied by armed guards, said he was denied access to the Bor UN base. UN official Sey Makwe was allowed to enter the compound, but requested that his security guards remain outside. A few days after the incident, President Salva Kiir delivered a speech accusing the UN of running a federal government. Mr. Kiir later substanced those remarks, saying the UN has always been a friend of South Sudan. For BOA News, I'm Philippe Leo in Juba.
Ugandans and South Sudanese along their border have signed a deal that they hope will benefit people on both sides of the border. Officials from Lamwa District in Uganda and county officials in Eastern Equatoria State have announced an agreement to allow South Sudanese cross the border without paying any fee 2 days each month. This should help ease the shortage of commodities in South Sudan while opening up Ugandan markets to their neighbors, as Yasolo James Oketa reports for VOA from Torit.
Equator County Commissioner Peter Lokeng Lotene says the agreement is scheduled to go into effect later this month. Under the agreement, on the 17th and 18th every month, people from Eastern Equatoria will be able to cross into Uganda without paying the usual $50 fees. He says the plan is to set up a market in the border town of Apiriti where they can buy cheap goods from Ugandans and sell their own products.
That in this
We welcome that initiative to be a very good trade where we can make our community of the Republic of South Sudan, particularly Eastern Equatoria State and especially Ikotos County, to be together with the neighboring country, to have the trade at the border where it will make peaceful coexistence and integration between the communities of South Sudan and Uganda possible.
The Tone says Lamor district officials approached him with the idea in late at the chamber after the violence broke out in South Sudan. He says shortly after that, they saw food shortages on the market, even though there was no fighting in Eastern Equatoria State. He says truckers were afraid to travel on the roads to and from Juba. Lamor District Sub-Chief Okuna Richard says Ugandan officials wanted to help their neighbors and were also happy to have the opportunity to sell more goods to South Sudanese. Richard says he got approval from the Ugandan government last month, and on Monday he held a news conference after he and Lotone signed the deal.
The market is going to host you with so many items, like the fruits, produce, the cereals, maize, sorghum, and nice fruits like pineapples, bananas, and we also intend to bring for you a lot of animals, especially the bulls and cows.
Okongo Valentino says he cannot wait for the market to open. The Eastern Equatoria builder says it should help him reduce the price he charges for construction projects.
Building materials, in fact, like iron sheets, that are sold highly. Like when you want to buy an iron sheet here, it's at roughly 100 pounds. That's 3 meters. But when you cross the border, you go that side of Uganda, you get roughly at 30,000, which it is 60 pounds.
Agnes Ekwang sells cereals in the Torrid market. She says she would be interested in buying in bulk at the border market and reselling it in Torrid. But she says first the government needs to improve the roads.
Yeah, it is a good idea, but where the business is located, the population is very low. Probably when the road is fully constructed, the business will go normally. But when the road is not all that well constructed, still the business will collapse.
Commissioner Lotona says the road should be fully repaired within 4 months, making it easier for people to access the market. For VOA News, I'm Yesolo Oketa James in Torrid.
Emergency aid deliveries from the United Nations in South Sudan are facing double threat, insecurity and the impending rainy season. The agencies say young children are among those most at risk of malnutrition. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
UN Refugee Agency spokesperson in Juba, Teresa Ungaro, says the situation has grown steadily worse since fighting broke out last December.
The main problem is linked to the insecurity that is generalized in many parts of the country. Towns like Bor, Malakal, and the Nile, which are main road and river routes, have had violent clashes over the past weeks, with the result that we are unable to move relief items overland to Upper Nile and many other parts of the country. The concern with Upper Nile, obviously, is the 130,000 refugees that reside in 4 camps.
Those camps are in Mabon County in Upper Nile State. So far, they have not been directly affected by fighting between government forces and rebels. However, the UNHCR says food was last delivered to the camps in February. The concern now, says Ungaro, is that refugees may only get partial rations this month.
We work side by side with World Food Program. UNHCR deals with the non-food items, and WFC is responsible for food. They actually have food, but they are unable to bring it to Upper Nile. For the time being, they're working closely with the government to try and open up corridors so that the food can be delivered to the refugees. Children, pregnant women, elderly persons are likely to suffer if they don't have the full food ration.
The UNHCR and the World Food Program are not just concerned about the immediate food needs. Food deliveries could literally get bogged down in April.
The challenge really is getting relief items to Mabon County. Usually during the first quarter, we are busy pre-positioning items for the rainy season because the roads will soon become impassable. 2 years ago, we had to resort to very, very costly airlifts to bring supplies to that area. We're hoping this will not be the case. As I say, discussions are ongoing at the highest level with the national authorities, both in South Sudan and neighboring countries, and we're hoping that we will be able to bring food, particularly, but also non-food items to the refugees in that part of the country.
About one-third of the 130,000 refugees in Mabon County are children, pregnant and lactating women, the elderly, and disabled. Ungaro says it appears some women have not been breastfeeding their children as often as needed.
Mostly children under the age of 2 years were affected, and in all cases their mothers were pregnant and apparently not feeding them as they should. Those children would normally be breastfeeding, so they were clearly not getting proper nutrition. Now, we have community-based approaches for dealing with that, to educate these women on the effect it has on their children. Having said that, this shows us what could possibly happen if the refugees didn't have food. Then we'd expect to see severe malnutrition, kwashiorkor, and that kind of health challenge among children.
Kwashiorkor is malnutrition caused by a severe protein deficiency, often causing swelling of the gut. There are also about 80,000 refugees in Unity State. Truck convoys with food and other supplies are en route to camps there. Aid officials hope to pre-position supplies before the rainy season. Besides the refugees, there are also tens of thousands of internally displaced people in Upper Nile State. UNHCR says many of them may try to cross the Ethiopian border in search of aid. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Women and activists in South Sudan say there is little to celebrate this year as the country joins the world in marking the International Women's Day tomorrow. They say the country has made little progress in advancing women's rights over the past year, and the recent fighting has made things worse. Mungume Davis Rakarinj has the story for VOA from Juba.
Twenty-year-old Elizabeth Mande Keji says she does not get enough to eat, so she has a hard time producing milk for her one-year-old daughter. She says the baby spends most of the day crying from hunger. 2 years ago, Keji says she came to Juba looking for a job because her single mother could no longer support her. She finally found work at a small restaurant that paid her £20 per day.
I came to work, and after that, another man come and deceived me that, hey, I will pay you in the school, I will do for you everything. After that, I accept. Now, she deceived me that if you are pregnant, if you produce your baby, I will take you back to school.
Keji says she became pregnant within the year, and that is when the man disappeared. She says she's left to raise her daughter alone. The South Sudan Child Act promises prosecution against anyone who has sexual relations with children under 18 years old. But Keji says her family and friends told her it was not worth pursuing a case. Grace Fadia is the General Secretary of Central Equatorial State Women's Union. She says, unfortunately, Keji's situation is all too common.
Many ladies are not going to school because of school fees, so they end up getting married to old people. Even myself, I was supposed to be in school. I was supposed to finish university, but because of poverty, I ended up getting married and just leave school, and I ended up stopping in the level that I didn't want to stop in.
According to government statistics, nearly half of all girls between 15 and 19 years old are married. And Fadia says the ongoing fighting is only going to make girls' and women's lives harder. Ayen Amor Roet was forced to flee from Bor when fighting broke out there earlier this year. The 16-year-old has dropped out of school and now has nothing to do all day. Roet says when she was living in Jonglei, she could sleep in a tukul. Now, she is sleeping under a tree. She says that makes her feel vulnerable. She says she is also worried her parents might soon tell her it is time to get married, since she is no longer able to go to school, even though she wants to continue her education. National Ministry of Gender Undersecretary Esther Ikere Ladu Eluzai says much more needs to be done for women in South Sudan, including better enforcement of the Child Act and other legislation. But she says this year, the highest priority will be providing best security to keep women and girls safe. She says government officials will mark International Women's Day by visiting women and girls living in displacement camps.
They have lost property, and they have even lost most of the infrastructure that they have, particularly the three states that are affected. And this has also increased vulnerability to other populations in the other states that are stable.
Ikere says they will not ignore the other needs. She says her ministry will convene a conference this month to discuss ways to improve the lives of women. But Elizabeth Mande Keji believes her fate is sealed.
I will not go to school because it's the heart. My babies want to learn. Even my sister is still young. There's no one who is going to fail. Even I will look for work. After that, I will pay my sister and my child.
For VOA News, I am Gumedev Surakarinj in Juba.
South Sudan is not the only African country where girls are married at a younger age. Human Rights Watch is appealing to Malawi's government to address what it calls widespread child and forced marriage. The Global Rights Watchdog says Malawi needs to set a lawful minimum marriage age to protect girls from the abuse. Government officials say efforts are already underway to address the problem. Lamek Masina reports for VOA from Blantyre.
Government statistics show that half of the girls in Malawi marry by their 18th birthday, with some as young as age 9 or 10 being forced to marry. This is attributed to factors that include pressure from the family members, pregnancy or poverty. The statistics also show that between 2010 and 2013, near 30,000 girls in primary school and 4,000 girls in secondary school dropped out due to early marriage. During the same period, another 14,000 primary school girls and 5,000 secondary school girls dropped out because they were pregnant, contributing to the already high illiteracy rate for women, currently at 57%. In its report, Human Rights Watch is asking President Joyce Banda's administration to support efforts that would help curb early child marriages. Agnes Odhiambo is the African women's rights researcher at Human Rights Watch.
The government needs to set a very clear minimum marriage age, and it has that opportunity because in 2006, it developed the Marriage, Divorce and Family Relations Bill. In short, we call it the Marriage Bill. But 8 years down the line, it remains a bill, and this is not a good sign that the government is committed to ending child marriage and protecting girls from the abuses that they face as a result of child marriage.
Odhiambo says child marriage exposes girls to domestic and sexual violence. Health workers say early pregnancy can lead girls to suffer from obstetric fistula, anemia, and other complications that can cause death of the baby or a mother. The principal secretary in the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Welfare, Mary Shawa, told VOA that as government awaits passage of the marriage law, it has engaged in other efforts to end early marriages.
We are working with the chiefs to make sure that they develop by laws in their own areas, prohibiting child marriages and child pregnancy. The chiefs are going to provide penalties.
Malawi's senior tribal chief, Chief Chitera, is among traditional leaders who have introduced bylaws against early marriages. She told VOA that the bylaws penalize any traditional leader or parent who authorizes the marriage of a girl younger than 21 years of age. Chitera says the chiefs are penalized by paying 7 goals to her. She says parents who force their children into marriage would be fined to pay 3 chickens to their village headman and a goat to her as the traditional authority. Chitera says there have been no cases of child marriage since the adoption of the bylaws in 2012. The existing marriage laws in Malawi allows girls to marry as early as 15 years, provided they have parental consent. The revised marriage bill would put the minimum of 18 years as a marriage age, which Odhiambo of Human Rights Watch says conforms to the international standards. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear what you have to say about this week's deadly exchange of gunfire. That story is coming up.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus, and there are now a number of options for listening to the program. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country. Check our website, voanews.com/South Sudan, for the listings. In Juba, you can listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5, VOA's 24-hour station. You can also find us on the following shortwave frequencies, 9490, 11655, and 13870 kilohertz. Or you can listen on the web, voanews.com/South Sudan. And finally, you can download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the most important benefit of education?
When you go to school, you at least you can learn how to read and write, and the way you analyze issues is different from someone who has not studied. So it helps you to get better avenues of getting good jobs and living a good life.
To gain knowledge and to pursue my career in my life.
Education lightens up everybody's mind and opinions and helps us discover solutions to our problems. If only 70% of this country would get education, we would have a lot of learned people, young learned people with new experiences.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The Speaker of Russia's upper house of parliament says Russian lawmakers will support Crimea's decision if the Ukrainian region decides in a referendum to join Russia. Ukraine's interim government, meanwhile, has rejected Crimea's moves to leave Ukraine, with Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk saying today that no one in the civilized world will recognize the results of the region's referendum. Ukraine and Russia have been locked in a tense standoff since Russian forces entered Crimean Peninsula a week ago. The International Criminal Court has convicted former Congolese militia leader Germain Katanga of war crimes and crimes against humanity related to a 2003 massacre in the Central African nation. The court today ruled that Katanga helped facilitate and organize the militia group that murdered about 200 people in Bogoro village in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Katanga, whose nickname is Simba, or the Lion, showed no emotion as the verdict against him was read in the Hague-based courtroom. And finally, a Malaysian appeals court has overturned opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim's 2012 acquittal on charges of sodomy. The Court of Appeals ruled today that Anwar was guilty of having sex in 2008 with a man who was then his aide. A lower court acquitted Anwar in 2012, ruling that DNA evidence in the trial was contaminated. Sodomy is punishable by up to 20 years in prison under a colonial-era law in Malaysia. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. I am Charlton Doki in Juba, and it's time for your comments. Many of you are concerned about the recent gunfire in Juba. Thiang Geka in Old Fangak says the sporadic firing of guns, including heavy artillery by the SPLA throughout the whole night in Juba, shows President Salva Kiir will not control the turmoil in the country. Geka says many civilians were killed as a result. The only solution for saving thousands of innocent lives is to form an interim government without Salva Kiir, sooner rather than later. Garang Chiman in Kwajok, Warap State writes, regarding the incident that happened in Juba on Wednesday, I urge our leaders not to disappoint the faithful soldiers who remained loyal to the government. Otherwise, more defections will follow. Jacob Dior in Rumbek Lakes State says, "When I heard the gunshots in Juba Wednesday, it reminded me about the unbridgeable gap between the government and the rebels." He asks, "Is South Sudan becoming another Somalia or Iraq, where gunshots are the order of the day?" Charles Water in Yambio, Western Equatoria State writes, "We can really be South Sudanese if we dress ourselves with sensitive understanding, peace and unity, and forgiveness. Let's forgive those who harmed us and unite to build a peaceful and prosperous South Sudan." He asks, "Why do we accept the dictatorial politicians to lead us to fight each other?" Emma from South Sudan says, "South Sudanese leaders enjoy the suffering of citizens." He asks, "Otherwise, how can the president facilitate tourists around Africa in the name of sensitization about the December 15, 2013 incident?" Mamer Akonbol in Warap State writes, "The formation of an interim government without President Salva Kiir is not a solution to the South Sudan conflict." He goes on, "I think the international community should intervene and pressure the two warring sides to reach a peaceful deal to work together." Marielle Gabriel Akon in Kwajok says, "Before our country South Sudan becomes a second Somalia, we dearly urge our government to quickly quell this situation before it becomes awful for the civilians to stay in." He goes on, "Oh God, help us South Sudanese out of this horrible condition." MG from Juba says his advice to fellow South Sudanese is that if soldiers loyal to the government are fighting for their salaries, then this is a clear sign that the government in Juba is doing nothing but corruption. And finally, War Buony in Juba writes, "South Sudan is a vast country. It can accommodate all the South Sudanese. There is no need for us to kill one another." Buony continues, "What has happened in the last 2 months is what we expected would happen. But let the past be the past. Let's forget the violence we have passed through and begin a new agenda which will help us move this country forward. We want to hear what you think. You can reach us by text or on the web at southsudan@voanews.com. I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
And that's all we have for you on this Friday. We now leave you with the song "Juba Lish" by Ahmed Bremer. We have been listening to Sudanese musician Ahmed Bremer with the song "Juba Lish." I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and have a safe and peaceful weekend. We'll be back here next week with another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.